Welcome to Tarot Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Pamela Rivka Simonson, and today we will be studying Amos, Perek Vav, Chapter 6. God's lament over the pitiful fate of the Northern Kingdom was expressed in Chapter 5, together with rebuke for social injustice and idolatry, a call to realise Hashem sees all, and the offer of a solution promising life. Turn back to God and commit to honesty. The people are so focused on self-gratification that reproof has no place in society. They have forgotten that Hashem runs the show. And they even jeer at the idea that a day of retribution would actually arrive. Decadence as a contributor to apathy features again at the start of Perek Vav, Chapter 6. Complacency leaves the people of the Northern Kingdom stagnant. Even as they witness the suffering of their brothers, they refuse to admit they could be next. They view themselves as invincible and completely omit Hashem from the picture, putting life's events down to nature and resisting accountability for their actions. Radak on the first two verses highlights the indifference of the people to the warnings they receive. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Hoi hasha'ana nim bat Zion. Woe to the serene ones in Zion, and the secure ones in Mount Shomron. Shomron was the capital city of the Northern Kingdom, and Zion the capital of the Southern Kingdom. He says, woe to the rich people living in them, that they are sure that evil will not befall them. They were the last cities to be conquered in their respective kingdoms. And the prophet is alluding to them not feeling any pain at the exile of their brothers, the ones who have suffered before the conquerors reached Zion and Shomron. Nekuvei Reishis Hagoyim Uvo'u Lahem Beis Yisrael. Those who are called the first of the nations, but the house of Yisrael came to them. Shomron and Zion were the first areas inhabited by the seven nations, and the land in these areas was considered to be the best. The prophet is saying, you, B'nai Yisrael, came to possess these beautiful areas not because of your might, but because Hashem wanted to give them to you. And you transgress. You abandoned Hashem's laws and took on the ways of those who had lived there before you. Why did you do this? Amos challenges the people in verse 2 to look around them at surrounding areas and realize they have no complaint. Hatovim min hamamlachais ha'ele? Are they better than these kingdoms, better than yours? No. Why do you reject Hashem after the good he gave you? What fault do you think you have found that you choose to follow the ways of the other nations instead of Hashem's? In the previous chapter, Amos said, Hoi hamisavim es yom Hashem. Woe to the ones who desire the day of Hashem, which we learnt referred to the people doubting that the day of retribution would come at all, and so they mockingly invited its arrival. Here in chapter 6, verse 3, Amos calls to Hamanadim leYom Ra. The ones who consider the day of evil to be so far off in a temporal sense. They say, according to Ibn Ezra, that the prophecy is about a distant time in the future, and so, if punishment is not imminent, they don't fear sinning. Vatagishun sheves chomos, and you bring close in the gate of judgment, corruption. You continue to embed deceit in society, you push away the day of retribution, and keep lawlessness close. In verses 4 to 6, Amos' words paint a picture of the gluttonous lifestyle the people delight in, and their reluctance to concern themselves with the future or with other people's pain. Using Radak's reading, verse 4 means, you, who indulge in all sorts of luxury, without considering the day of retribution, nor feeling any pain over the exile, when it says, Hashaychvim al mitais shein, usruchim al arshaysom, va'eichlim karim mitzayn, va'agolim mitoich marbeik. The ones who lie on beds of ivory, stretched out on their couches, and eat the fattened of the sheep and calves from inside the stall. Mahari Kara explains on the last part of the verse that the people would go past the flocks to select the choicest of the animals, and they would gorge themselves with them. In verse 5, Amos criticizes the people because Kadavid Choshvu Lahem Klei Shir. They thought of themselves like David with their musical instruments. But their comparison is flawed because King David channeled his music towards spiritual connection, serving Hashem, whilst the people of the Northern Kingdom enjoy music only for their own superficial satisfaction, as Rashi comments. Verse 6. Hashaisim b'mizrakei yayin, the ones who drink wine in basins. Rather than drinking wine from regular glasses, which Radak explains would be the more appropriate behaviour, they disregard refinement and instead drink wine from large bowls. V'loi nechlu al shever Yosef. And they are not pained about the destruction of Yosef. Yosef refers to the Northern Kingdom. Based on Rashi, this means that the inhabitants of the Northern Kingdom do not heed the prophecies of their own destruction. An additional layer to their callousness is expressed in Radak's interpretation of this phrase, that those who have not yet experienced exile do not care regarding the people from amidst the kingdom who have previously been exiled. And so, Ibn Ezra explains, they, the Northern Kingdom, will be exiled first, as is appropriate, because they always demand the first ranking of everything. They indulge in the finest. Verse 7. Lochein, ata yiglu baroish goylim, vasar mirzach suruchim. Therefore, now, they will be exiled at the head of the exiles, and the banquets of the haughty will cease. In the following few verses, Amos prophesies severe destruction in both kingdoms. In Posuk Ches, verse 8, Hashem declares, "Masa'ei vanaychi esga'ein Yaakov, va'armanai sav sonesi." I loathe the glory of Yaakov, and I hate his palaces. Malbim interprets this to mean that Hashem is saying, "I no longer have the desire for the glory of Yaakov, the Jewish people." Metzudas David translates Meso'ev as desire, and Go'ein Yaakov means the temple. So Hashem is saying that although I love the temple, I hate the palaces, places of indulgence in materialism. Therefore, I will send an enemy to destroy Yerushalayim and everything in it. As the end of the verse states, V'hizgarti ir umelaya, I will deliver the city at its fullness. The temple is included in the city. The description in the verses is of devastation, not leaving anyone remaining. But Amos makes it clear that the fate of each kingdom will be different. As he says in verse 11, "For behold, Hashem commands, and he will smite the large house, Resisim, into splinters. V'habayis hakotain bekiim, and the small house into chips." The imagery is of the greater kingdom being struck so harshly that it shatters into splinters, and the blow to the smaller kingdom will be less violent, leaving it in fragments that are larger than the slivers the larger kingdom leaves behind. Metzudas David explains that the larger kingdom here is a reference to the northern kingdom of the 10 tribes. When destruction happens here, the remaining fragments are so small, because it will take such a long time for them to be fixed. They won't return to their land until the final, ultimate redemption. However, the smaller kingdom, which means the southern kingdom, will be left with larger pieces, indicating that its renewal can occur sooner, for they will return to their land in the time of the Second Temple. According to Rashi, Amos asks the people in verse 12 why they think they can distort goodness and survive, and then describes them in verse 13 as people who rejoice over their wealth, which is nothingness because it is transient, hasmechim lelei davar, who rejoice about nothingness. Ha'omrim haloi v'chazkeinu lokachnu lanu karnayim, who say, "Is it not through our strength that we took horns for ourselves?" Metzudas David explains that they are attributing their successes to their own strength, rather than recognizing divine supervision of their lives. Verse 14. ki hinani me kema lechem beis Yisrael, n'um Hashem eloikei hatzvakois goi. V'lochatzu eschem, melevoi chamos ad nachal ha'arava. For behold, I will rise up against you a nation, house of Yisrael, says Hashem, God of legions, and they will oppress you from the approach to Chamos until the brook of Arava. The final verse of the chapter depicts the destruction of the northern kingdom in its entirety, from edge to edge, as Matsudas David comments, as evidenced from the geographical references. How patient is Hashem, relentlessly delivering warning after warning when we have strayed so far as to warrant such devastating retribution. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.